Kakan Hermansson.
Yes, my love, Britta Zackari.
Vi har ju en podd som heter Ofyllt hemma.
Ja, den är otrolig, för den handlar om hemmet, men också om så mycket annat.
Den handlar om lästedianer, den handlar om kentaurer, den handlar om Realtree Camo.
Det handlar om mycket textil ibland.
Den handlar om att sälja mitt hus, att köpa ditt hus.
Det handlar om min ägglossning.
Alltid, ja. Min också.
Tack. Den heter Ofyllt hemma och den finns där poddar finns.
Hörs i podden, hej då! Hej.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Det här är en podd från L.
Idag kommer Susanne Stjernberg hit och jag gör min första podd på engelska. Det är liksom lite nervöst. Vi ska liksom prata mode om hennes liv från Iran till USA, tillbaka till Iran och sen Strängnäs. Vi pratar en del Celine också.
Under huden med Kakan Hermansson.
This is my first podcast in English. I'm a bit nervous. But you are from my second hometown, San Francisco, right?
Yes. Yeah? Yes.
Were you born there?
No, I was actually born in Chicago. Mm. And I was 3 when we moved back to Iran. And I'm from a city called Shiraz.
Down
in the south of Iran.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you've heard of the Shiraz wine, it originated from there. And then we were there during the revolution. And then the Iran-Iraq war started. And then we decided that it was time to get out because I was being brainwashed at school. And I was living in fear because I was born in the U.S. And every day at school, we had to say, like, death to the U.S. And it was
a horrible, as a
10-year-old, can you imagine? Like,
oh, you were that old?
I was 10, exactly. So then my parents found these smugglers and they paid them to smuggle us out of Iran through Pakistan. So yeah, so
whoa.
So I was 11.
That's the beginning of this podcast.
Yeah.
And you came back to the US.
We first went to Texas, which I couldn't barely understand their accent, and I was crying every day because I was so traumatized.
Yeah.
They all thought like I was a terrorist. So I was 11 years old, but then my dad got a job in California, so we moved to sunny Orange County.
Oh.
In Irvine. And in Irvine, it was great. There was a huge community of Iranian Americans like myself that had moved at a young age. So I kind of found my, you know, group. And I also tried to like find myself going to church, trying different things, seeing like can I relate to.
Were you like a community of?
There was a community of Iranians that had kind of like me had escaped during that Iran-Iraq war.
Yeah,
you know, at
did
that
your
time,
parents
in the 80s, early 80s,
like easily? What do you?
They did. They. You mean like?
Nej, men drogs de till den communityn?
Yeah, yeah. They fit in because my, you know, I was born in Chicago in 72. I'm 47.
Get the fuck out of town.
Yeah. 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 I'm a 70s child. That's what I'm like so into, like that music, 70s and 80s, you know, it's like my generation. But I was when I was born in Chicago, my dad was doing his he was doing his internship at Cook County, you know, where that ER film was being series was being filmed.
Yeah.
That's the hospital. So my dad was board certified in the U.S.
What does he do?
He's a doctor. And then my mom always, you know, my parents always had they always told us that we have to acclimate into the society. We have to become a part of the society. We work, we volunteer, we have to become a part of it. Of course, keeping our traditions and culture.
Yeah, because you kept talking Persian,
yeah.
Farsi.
Yeah, yeah. I talk Farsi. I'm more half and half at home because I was there only for 8 years of my life. And when I was there, my parents had us in a international school. So okay. I was learning English.
Yeah.
That was really my first language.
But you keep the Tadic and the
Farsi. Yes, yeah, the Persian, yeah. I write like a fifth grader, but I can speak fluently.
Yeah. Are your parents alive?
Yes, they are. My dad is 84, knock on wood, and he is still working.
God, he loves being a doctor.
Yeah, he loves it. And you know what?
Where are they, in San Francisco?
No, they're down in Orange County. So when I went to undergrad and grad school in Irvine. Mm-hmm. And then for work, I moved to San Francisco. My brother was living in San Francisco at the time, and I kept visiting him.
Yeah, but you're doing this too fast.
Oh, sorry.
What did you study?
Oh, God. I studied biology, and
with fashion. Biology and fashion.
Yeah, but you know what? When I was undergrad, I actually, ever since I could work, like I could actually, it was legal for me to work.
Yeah.
I worked part-time in fashion. I worked part-time as a makeup artist for Yves Saint Laurent. Mm. I worked part-time at Saks Fifth Avenue as a personal shopper. And this was all to be able to pay for my travels and things I wanted to buy.
But you never thought that fashion would be something you could make a living off.
No. And I'm still debating that. I'm still, because I studied biology because, you know, my dad and my brother are doctors, and that's the kind of, I look so highly, looked up to them so much. It was my life.
And also, so like, being an immigrant, you have to.
Yeah. But, you know, my parents, it was never like, you have to become a doctor. It was always like, be successful in what you're doing.
Yeah.
And support yourself. Don't depend on anyone else to support you. So be the best. I just went that route because I knew that. That was familiar to me, you know?
Were you interested in biology?
I actually was. Yeah. You know, I was interested in biology. I wanted to become a doctor. I ended up doing research. I did my undergrad. I did research in pharmacology and toxicology. So I actually did research related to the heart and actually women and hormones and estrogen. I worked a lot with that. And that's the route I was thinking of going. But then what happened was I kind of had a, I would say maybe like an epiphany where I realized that, no, maybe that's not really meant for me. Mm-hmm. And I even had a job with Pfizer. But, you know, when I moved to San Francisco, I said, okay, now I'm going to start something new and I'm going to find out really what is it I want to do, you know?
Was that scary?
Yes and no. I think for me it was more like, you know, I was young. I was in my 20s, and I knew that I had the education to fall back on.
Yeah.
So I could take this chance. And I knew I was good at sales because I had that as a background because I did it like part-time.
Yeah.
And I thought that, well, let me go into sales, and because I love socializing, I love meeting new people, I love building relationships.
You're not a shy girl.
No, I'm not shy.
You're not a shy girl.
No, not at all. So I moved to San Francisco the year 2000, the year 9/11 happened. And I remember that, and it was quite an experience. But I have to say that moving to San Francisco was like one of the best things I've ever done in my life, I have to say.
And back then, the city wasn't as affected of Silicon Valley as they are now.
It's much more now.
Yeah.
You still had like the tech boom. You had, all the startups happening. I mean, all my clients were all like Google, Oracle, Apple. My friends were working at these companies. But I loved it because it was such an eye-opener for me. You know, a couple of my best friends were gay, and they introduced me to the Castro, Folsom Street Fair, a lot of amazing events and things. I ended up going to Burning Man several times. And it was just like, it was probably one of the best times of my life.
Mm.
Yeah.
San Francisco is.
Yeah.
Or was amazing.
Yeah. Definitely.
I was there so much between 2008 and 12.
Yeah.
Going back and forth. And it was changing dramatically during those years.
Yeah, it definitely has. I mean, it's a beautiful city. It's small city. Mm. And you have a lot of...
It's like Göteborg.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. But
yeah.
But it's... I lived there for 11 years. Oh. So...
Where did you live?
I lived first in Pacific Heights, but it was like close to Van Ness. It's kind of like borderline. And then I moved to Russian Hill, which was close to Polk Street. Mm-hmm. A lot. That's actually, you know, Polk Street was where it was actually really home of the gays at that time.
Uh-huh.
First, it was there before it moved on to Castro. Yeah. There's some amazing bars and clubs still going on there that's like super cool and fun. So I lived on close to Polk Street for a while. And then I moved to Lower Knob Hill, which was like a few blocks from Union Square. I walked to work to the financial district every day.
But what did you work with?
So then I worked with Wells Fargo. I went into the financial industry. I know.
How?
A friend is like, you know what? We need somebody like you. And at that time, I wasn't sure what I was going to do because I moved to San Francisco. I had a job with Pfizer. But then I was like, I can't do this. I need something different. I need to meet people. I can't work with animals all day long anymore and things like that. So they had an opening at Wells Fargo within the international division. So I got a job. And
How could you explain Wells Fargo for like a Swedish person?
It's like a Handelsbanken.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a bank, a huge bank in the U.S. You have like a few big banks in the U.S. and Wells Fargo is one of them. They're very old. I don't know if Handelsbanken is very old, but Wells Fargo goes back to like the stagecoach when you had like, you know, long time ago in the 1800s where they would drive to, you know, deliver people, you know, take people, and then it was money, cash, and coins from banks.
This is so exotic. This is so exotic. Oh my God. Ancient time America.
Yeah, ancient time.
But all of a sudden you were in the financial.
Yeah.
But how come if you're a biologist?
Yeah, you know, it's just.
You can just do that.
Yeah, why not?
My God. God, my fucking
why
God,
not?
Also.
Yes.
What were you doing?
So I was actually working with people, like actually businesses and people that were relocating. For example, Google, you know, they relocate people from all over the world into the U.S. Mm-hmm. There was a division that was helping them to get financially acclimated. So we were like helping them with accounts, mortgages. We had a team that was helping them. So for example, the CEO of T-Mobile would come, or top people, or just, you know, regular folks, engineers were coming in to work for Apple. Then they would introduce them to our division, and then we would help them open everything up. So it makes it like a seamless relocation. So we were making the expats' lives easier. So I was basically traveling around the U.S., meeting companies that had employees that were relocating. So it was fantastic because I was going to like Chicago, Minneapolis, New York, Texas, Washington. I was meeting with like Starbucks and companies like Boeing and, you know.
Things were happening.
It was so much fun.
Yeah.
It was so awesome.
But what was your relation to fashion like at that point?
At that point, it was just more like I was making money. So I was spending money on buying things that I liked.
Tell me what you bought. This you know, is, oh my God, so, I'm so enjoying this.
So some Galliano. At that time, you know, at that time, actually, you know, I have to say that Tom Ford was designing for Gucci, for Yves Saint Laurent, and I was making, because I was in sales, so I was making a shitload of money, and it was so awesome. So then it was like, for the first time, actually, I can spend money and buy things for myself. So then I just went nuts, and they had great sales, you know, like after Christmas, Saks Fifth Avenue had like 70% off. I bought like Prada jackets, Tom Ford Lanvin. I mean, it was amazing.
Did
you know?
Did you keep all this?
I kept all this.
I have them.
Yeah.
I'm doing so good right now. Oh, I am happy for you.
They're in suitcases.
I don't even need this myself. I'm so happy for you.
You know, it's like a part of history, and it's part of my history of like as a person. You know, when you first start making some money, of course, like everybody's like, don't spend your money, you know, buy something. And I did. I ended up buying my apartment. I bought a car. So I was investing. I was putting money in my in retirement. But then I'm like, fuck it. I want to buy some nice things for myself too, you know. And I'm so glad I did, because at that, you know, Tom Ford, you know, for Gucci or Yves Saint Laurent and some of these designers, it's like, yeah. It's,
you still
it's
wear
history.
Things from that time now.
I do, yeah, for sure.
Do you have like a special memory? Oh, remember when I bought this hat or shoes or...
Yeah. Bye. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember the sales, the morning sales. Oh. Did you ever watch Sex in the City where like
Please.
You're fighting over
yes.
a bat?
That was how
it,
you.
That was, yeah. But it wasn't me grabbing. It was somebody trying to take it from me.
Oh my God.
But I'm like,
how
stand
could you?
Back. You know?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, you
don't. You were there before it opened. I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah,
oh.
yeah. It was, and but you know, people would come in teams and they would divide up and conquer. And I wasn't so smart back then. So I was like, okay, what's most important to me is accessories. So I would like jump to the shoes and bags and then I would hit the clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You had 3 hours.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But you more or less have like a museum at home.
Kind of.
Like a small museum.
I did, you know, some things, you know, I went through ups and downs with like, you know, money and spending. So I, you know, I also like didn't have so much space. So I would sell some things to vintage and then buy something new. But I have some key pieces left, you know.
In this podcast, we have time to talk about those key pieces.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah, I have, let's see, I have some... I have a lot of scarves from Tom Ford Gucci time. I have Chanel from way back then as well.
Bags,
a lot of earrings. I have some belts and brooches and things like that. I have shoes. I have boots, sandals.
What size are you?
I'm 39. And you know, back then I used to wear heels. I look back, I'm like, how can I? I can't
wear
them anymore.
Ja, men helt obehindrat. You were just walking around like nothing.
I was partying. I was single. I would go to work, then go to happy hour, and I'm in like, you know, 10-inch heels.
Yeah.
And like, table dancing, you know, that's the kind of life I had back then.
Yeah.
And, but I can't let go of these shoes. I still have
Why
it.
Would you?
No. I
Also like vintage shoes, it's not like a vintage bag.
No.
You don't have the same value.
No, I don't know. But regardless, in terms of that, I mean, it's just nice to, I go back and look at it. It's all memories for me, you know. I used to go to, I met some folks in San Francisco that invited me to the Formula One race. One of them...
Of course.
One of them, Nicholas, and his twin sister, they actually organized what's called My Yacht Monaco. And they're friends with Prince Albert.
Of course.
So, you know, come May, I would jump on the plane and I would be visiting my aunt in Paris. And then I would go down to Nice and then go to Monaco and hang out with them for a week. So then I was wearing these, you know, heels and dancing up, you know, partying with them during that time.
Good. Can you just look back and be like, was that my life?
I do all the time. I look back and see, I'm like, did I really live that? I honestly, Colin, I honestly feel like I have lived several lives.
Yeah.
My life as a child in Iran is like a dream. That's like, I call that the golden years. That was another life. And then my teenage, undergrad, grad school was another life as a scientist. Mm. And I was very much like, you know, just focused, education, do well. And then San Francisco was all about experimenting, learning,
shopping,
meeting new people, shopping,
partying,
you know, you trying things. It's San Francisco. You go to a Santana concert, you go to Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, people are smoking weed. You get high just from secondhand smoke, you know. You go to Burning Man, your eyes open up to the art, to the giving, to living. It's an experience.
But did you ever think you would end up in Strängnäs?
Hell no.
No.
Hell no.
Strängnäs.
No, yeah.
But how come?
You know, I met my Swedish husband. His name is Yuan, and I met him, actually his one of his really good friends is Persian, and he grew up in Stockholm, and he was a friend of mine. So we met at a Persian wedding. And
a discreet little Persian wedding.
Exactly. Yeah. Actually, you know what? The first time I met him was at a bachelorette party, but it was right before the Formula One race. So I wasn't into like, oh, I thought that's a hot guy. But then I was like, I can't think about someone because I want to go party it up in Monaco. So
with my heels.
Yeah. So after I came back, the next day was this wedding, and I ran into him there, and I was wearing this long Missoni dress with these Marni heels, they were like 10 inches, and when I saw him, I was like, whoa, damn, he's hot. So, and I was a bit, you know, I was kind of flying.
Wow.
Get a little bit high.
Yeah.
It is San Francisco. It's legal in California,
yeah,
you know.
Take it easy, listeners.
Yes. But we danced all night. He was so cool, you know. And ended up that he was there. He had started the Sony Ericsson office in Redwood City.
So he lived there.
He lived there. He was in the middle of his, like, relocation. He was an expat. So we met, and
you were like, I'm good with expats. I could do that.
I'm good with, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You need a new bank account?
Yeah.
I can do that.
Let me take care of you, honey.
Hello, Johan.
Yeah, I know. He's like, my name is Johan. I'm like, say it to me like it is. He's like, you won. I'm like, okay.
But like, did you start the date right away?
No, because that's not the Swedish way. Obviously, I learned, you know, I guess Swedes don't really date.
Oh,
Americans.
They
hang out.
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think maybe people date now, like.
Yeah, like people. Actually go on a date.
Yeah, but we hang out.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, we started hanging out because we were just partying. We were like meeting for happy hour. There was like always so much stuff going on. And he was like, when we met, he's like, I can't get serious because I'm moving back to Sweden, so I can't fall in love. And I'm like, whoa, dude, back up. Like, I'm not looking for anything serious right now. I may meet somebody else tomorrow. Like, take it easy, you know?
Gud, killar. Det är världens vanligaste mening som straighta killar har sagt.
I know.
Hey, girl, I'm not looking for anything serious.
Yeah, no. He was like, right off
the bat. Johan, ta det lugnt.
Yeah, and I was like, dude, back up. Like, who talked about being serious? Like, I'm just having fun, you know? I'm like, take it easy,
but
dude.
Actually, you were thinking.
No, not at that time. But you know what happened was we were having such a fun time. I was really like, not only was I really like attracted to him, but I also physically, but also mentally, because here's like a really smart dude, and he's like kite surfing, he's like mountain biking, he's really into nature, he's independent, and he really like, he wasn't like the jealous type or like domineering, or it was very much of an equal thing, and I really love that, you
know? That something new for you? Like, is that unusual with American guys? Don't want to generalize, but I do.
Yeah,
that.
Persians and Americans, yeah. I think. You know, all my life I kind of thought I was going to meet this Iranian guy who was raised in the U.S., kind of like myself. But then, you know, when I met Johan, and then his relocation ended, so he was going to move back to Sweden, then it was like, oh, what are we going to do now, you know? And then
Because at that time you'd become serious.
We were kind of serious, you know. He had met my parents. I hadn't met his yet. And then we thought, okay, you know what? What are we going to do? So then, you know what? I said, I'm going to put it on the table. I said, you know what? I can come to Sweden and I can give it a try. I can take a 6-month leave of absence and do this.
Wow.
And you know why I thought that? I thought that because I thought to myself, like, man, here's a guy who's like, it's a person who I really like this guy, and I don't really know where this is gonna go, but I don't want to ever have to say what if, you know. And for me, like, I thought, you know, job and all the stuff I had, it wasn't important. Like, that stuff is, you can acquire it, you know. Yeah. Like, I rented my apartment. I took a 6-month leave of absence.
But when was this?
This was in 2010.
Okay.
2011, actually. Oh. Yeah. Yeah, 2010 we decided that we would I would move back with him. And then I started to apply for the visa process and took like 4 months. So in that 4 months, I like rented my apartment out. I donated all my stuff in my house to Salvation Army.
I thought you were going to say all my bags and shoes.
No, no. But I did give away a lot of stuff, but all my good stuff.
Yeah.
I basically came with 5 suitcases of clothes. That's all I brought with me.
Hey, here's my museum.
And one Persian carpet.
No.
Yeah. But you want to hear something really funny?
Yes, okay. We do.
So when I moved, you know, the Persian community, especially I have a lot of relatives in Iran, you know, they're like, oh, you know, Susan's moving to Sweden. Like, or are they getting married? Like, what's happening? You know,
they want to know.
So suddenly, like, we started getting all this stuff in the mail from Iran, like Persian cooker, like all this Persian for rice and tadig and saffron and like zereshk and all these things, and
mulberries.
And they're congratulating, mulberries, and they're congratulating Yuan on the phone because Yuan knows how to say salam and khubi, some words here and there. And he's like, and I'm like, Mom, what's going on? Why are they like congratulating? My mom's like, oh, I told them that you were married by Swedish law.
Nah.
Yeah.
Mamma.
I know. But you know, because...
Det där är så persisk mamma.
Yeah. Mm. But you know, she was like... She thought, you know, the Sambo thing.
Yeah.
It kind of meant like that. So she kind of twisted a little bit because...
A bit.
Because she couldn't really tell them that, like, I'm living in sin, you know? Yeah. Because in the eyes of the Persians, you know?
You were a slut.
Basically. Yeah. Yeah.
But you stayed.
I did. So 6 months went by. I got pregnant. We got married.
No! Yeah. You just got pregnant when?
After 6 months.
No way.
Yeah. Totally. Big surprise.
Totally pregnant.
Yeah. Totally pregnant.
No.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I, that was exciting. I actually didn't think I could get pregnant.
Well.
Yeah. Actually, I was 30. 39? No, I was 39.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 38, actually. You know what happened was I had actually made an appointment to talk to someone about IVF. And then when I went to the appointment, I was pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that was crazy. But thankfully.
Yeah.
That was really a good surprise. And so then that's when I, you know, when I moved to Sweden, you know, everybody was like, are you crazy? You're moving from Sweden to Malmö, because my husband was working at the time in Lund.
Yeah.
So we moved to Malmö.
Yeah, at Ericsson in Lund.
Sony Ericsson.
Sony Ericsson. Yeah. I used to go Lucia-tåg.
Okay, yeah.
At Sony Ericsson.
Yeah.
Okay. When I was a kid.
Okay. It's beautiful. I love Skåne.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I lived there for 8 years.
Har du liksom skånsk dialekt på din svenska? No.
Nej, jag tror inte.
Nej.
Nej. Men jag säger ja. Like some things I say, my husband's like, oh, that's so Skåne, you know, Skåne. But nej, jag tror inte. No. Jag pratar mer SFI svenska. Under huden.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What happened to your career?
My career. So when I moved to Malmö, I connected with some contacts I had in San Francisco that introduced me to a relocation company in Stockholm, and I got a job after 4 months. I didn't go the Arbets for Meddling in route.
No, who does?
Yeah, I probably should have, because I would have known what was more available to me at that time. I didn't realize. I didn't know to sign up, for example, with Unionen. So I made some mistakes that later on it worked against me. I could have benefited more, because I did start working after 4 months. I was paying taxes. I was part of a system. It was really important for me to become part of the system.
What kind of job did you get?
So I was actually a relocation consultant with this company that was in Stockholm. Mm-hmm. So I worked for them. I kind of got this 6 months.
When you were in Malmö?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So you could work from
home. I was working from home. Yes, exactly. And it was kind of one of those 6 month trial jobs.
Yeah.
But then after 6 months, I became pregnant, and then I had to kind of do amnio and a lot of those things. So then my job stopped after 6 months, and that's when I started my blog. Because, you know, this blogging thing, even when I was in San Francisco and I got into fashion, blogs had started kind of becoming big at that time.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, I want to start a blog. But then I never got around to it. But then when I became pregnant and I didn't have a job anymore, and I was doing these tests and kind of getting things prepared for my son Axel, he was going to be born, I started blogging.
That's how I got into blogging. But did you ever come back to your normal job after that?
You know, I got when I was on Mama Ledig with my second, because then I was pregnant with Simone, basically.
Simone.
Yeah. Simone and Axel. And they also have a Persian name too, by the way.
Good.
I got a job when I was on Mama Ledig through the daycare. I met this woman who her son was in the same avdelning as my son. And she's like, I need someone who speaks English and can do marketing and communication for me. Can you do this? And I'm like, sure. So I actually got hired by this tech company. It was a cloud communication company to do PR and marketing for them.
Everything seems so easy for you. You're just halka in på bananskal. I can do financial thing. I can do PR.
You know what it is? I think, you know...
Confidence.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, sales and marketing are very much the same kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, you know, as long as you're not fake selling, you're not pushy. For me, it's all about building relationships and doing well. It's all exciting. Everything is really a challenge. It's exciting. That's how I look at life, you know? Mm. I don't think of course it's scary too. I have stress and anxiety. I have all of that to deal with. But I always think, you got to try it. Why not? If it doesn't work, you try something different, you know? Mm. That's just how I look at things.
Men det är underbart, men you still got to have those. You got to get those. Du måste få de möjligheterna.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jag älskar också det. To do things that I'm afraid of, I'm scared
push
of.
Push yourself.
Yeah, that's the best
you
thing.
You have to push yourself out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And I think we all kind of, I even do it too. You know, you always order the same food from the same place. You end up wearing the same nude lipstick. Or, you know, I do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, you know, no, God, I'm going to go for red today.
Yeah.
I got to push out of this. I got to try something different, you know?
But what do you do now? What would you say if you met a new person, what would you say you do today?
So I do PR and marketing. So my blog, I called it Style in Scandinavia because it was I wanted to
go
show.
Go follow. No,
thank you. I wanted to show how it is here, life in Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And all the brands and, you know, styles I see on the streets that are inspiring and I like. But in terms of work-wise, I do PR and marketing. Actually, I'm doing PR for a Swedish emerging designer. Her name is Susan Satmari.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's doing bags.
Bags and jewelry. Yeah. Oh. She's actually, she was... we kind of have a similar life experience because she was born in Baghdad, so she's Iraqi, and she moved to Sweden right around Iran-Iraq war. Yeah. And we were around the same age. So I moved from Iran to the U.S., but she moved to Sweden as an immigrant.
Yeah, but she has, like, many years erfarenhet from...
She does. So when she finished design school, and this is what's so exciting for me because it's fashion history, and I love that. When she finished design school in Italy, she was immediately picked up by Alexander McQueen himself.
Gud!
Yeah.
Det är så sjukt!
And you know what?
Lee.
Listen to this. What I found out recently, you know the skull...
Yeah.
She's the one who designed it with Gaetano, who's still at Alexander McQueen. I'm like, please write a book.
Det var sjukt.
I know. It's so freaking amazing. And she has, like, her house is like a museum of, like, pieces from, like, McQueen and Celine and Paco Rabanne. So for me, it's really exciting to see someone who has this,
she,
like,
is a museum herself.
Yeah.
Is she doing good? I mean, because I saw her things on Princessan.
Yeah, like Sofia. Yeah, the royal family is supporting her right now. She's going to actually NK. She's going to be an NK Access in the fall. And in Japan, in Hong Kong. And we're in talks right now with several other department stores and online, like Net-a-Porter. So we're talking to all these folks right now. So it's exciting, things are happening. Yeah. We're preparing for Paris Fashion Week and hopefully Stockholm Fashion Week.
Yeah, what happened to Stockholm Fashion Week?
I think it's happening. I've heard through the grapevine that it's actually going to be end of August.
Oh,
so we'll see.
Looking forward to that.
Yes, me too.
But you have like the sickest Celine collection, right?
You know, I have some pieces, you know.
Cannot forget about that bag. That's the same, you know, the, like same, a big tote.
Yeah, tote, yeah.
And I looked at that and I was like, oh my God, I want to have one exactly the same. And you said it's Celine.
Yeah, I know. It's, but I see now, you know, Bottega Veneta is like the go-to brand. So
And also Peter Du.
Yes, you told me about that. Thank you. Yeah.
But there's
exactly
a lot of, you know, designers from Celine who's going places.
Yeah.
And but also Bottega Veneta is so expensive. Like that
it is.
That, you know, the bag for 83,000 spänn.
Yeah. Alltså, but you know, I always mix. Like I wear, you know, brands by Åhléns like Wira. Karin Wester is doing amazing things for Wira and her own line for Åhléns.
Yeah.
Also, Arquette. I think Arquette is fantastic. Mm. Koss. See, these are some, it's kind of the same feeling.
That's very
Scandinavian.
That's
much more budget.
Like Arquette and Koss, it's the most Scandinavian. Like Filippa K, very like clean.
Yeah.
I can't wear any of those. Like, I'm too big. No, they're too small. It is, actually. They're very small.
I don't know why they, you know, they... Because for me, like, I can't... I still have, like... I can't wear tight things. I have to have loose fitting clothes. Because I'm always, like, you know, kids picking up... Even my daughter, you know, she's going to be 5 soon. I'm still, you know, I have to pick her up. In the middle of the night, they come to my room. Yeah. I'm, like, picking him up, taking... I have to have comfortable clothing.
Yeah.
So it's... I don't wear tight stuff anymore or... Yeah, it has to be...
Yeah.
Oversize, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I love the best. But I meant those brands in the sense of, like, you know, some of this look, if you're going for that kind of a feeling.
And also...
Those are some of the brands. It's, like, better for the budget.
Accessible. Same on accessible.
Yeah.
Price.
It's more budget.
Yeah.
I would
say. Which is good to mix up with a bit of Celine and Gucci.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
But you do the PR and marketing, like, full time. And the blog and the Instagram thing.
Yeah, like, and it's tough. I would say it's kind of like, it's not easy balancing, you know, because you have to be able to put it down and, like, focus on, of course, like, you know, I'm cooking, I'm cleaning. I don't have a cleaning lady or person. I don't have, like, a cook. I have to do everything food shopping, you know.
Yeah.
So a lot of that stuff, because my husband, he... takes him like 3 hours back because he works in Shista. So I drop off the kids, I pick up the kids, and I work from home.
But you still want to live in Strängnäs.
Yes, and I live in Strängnäs. I live in Strängnäs because my husband is from there, and his parents live there. And we live in the countryside. It's beautiful. You know, the kids go to school, and they're back, they're where they play is in the forest. That, yeah, that's like that's their amazing. Playground.
Yeah.
And that's a dream come true for yeah. me, you know, that they're growing up with nature. It's a healthy environment. Mm. It's a beautiful city. It has a lot of history. Mm. It's quaint. Mm. And, you know, maybe we're going to get you over
yeah.
there.
Yeah, maybe. We had a, maybe. We saw this cute yeah. house, but we didn't go for it.
No, but you know, it's a nice place. And I get to come to Stockholm, you know, maybe once a week, once yeah. every 2 weeks. I get my city kind of fill of, you know, yeah. excitement. And
you,
I love it.
Yeah, you did figure things out.
Yeah. yeah, I'm still figuring things out, you know, but yeah. it's, but I love it. I mean, I'm meeting new people all the time. I met you randomly, yeah. which was amazing.
Träffades vi på den här H&M-frukosten?
Nej, det var faktiskt Sinsa med Marina Kereklidou.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That was the first time.
Yeah.
I was like, who is this? Who's my new friend? This is my new... And then I was, you know, as I... eager to find new Persian people. No, like I felt, oh my god, jag ska inte fråga som jag alltid gör.
No, but it was nice. Yeah. So, you know, it's always nice to meet new folks and make new contacts, and especially like appreciate fashion and mm-hmm. style and all these things. So it's good.
And for those who appreciate fashion and style, your Instagram konto is so good.
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's like it's a lot
I'm
of information.
Open to criticism. Tell me what. But you know, for me, honestly, it's kind of like I like it to be a mix of things, not just my own style. I don't want you to see me all the time. I'm inspired by what people are wearing.
Yeah.
Like this green you're wearing today.
Yeah.
I love it. I
me
love
too.
Love love it. It makes me so
it's
happy.
So cute.
And so, what is it, by the way?
Rudebjerg.
Oh, it's Rudebjerg.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Karin, what she's doing.
Karin is like the only designer who makes clothes that fit me. I can have a lot.
Yeah.
Like,
she had such an amazing presentation last season.
Oh, yeah.
And I noticed she's going to have a show in Copenhagen.
This?
She's having a fashion show.
She had that
in Copenhagen.
Last,
it was a presentation. Uh-huh. This is going to be a show, like a runway show.
In August?
In August, first week of, I just saw the schedule for Copenhagen Fashion Week, and I saw that Karin.
Are you gonna go?
I'm gonna go.
Okay, maybe I will go too.
Ooh,
yeah, buddies, we
yes.
will join.
I most likely, I took over for Who What Wear last season, talking about what people are wearing, interviewing people like Lisa Aiken from Moda Operandi
yeah.
to like Aaron from Who What Wear, what they're wearing, what brands they're looking at, what trends they're into. So I'll be doing the same thing again. This season.
But how do... Because in Stockholm, I get invited all the time, but they don't know who I am in Copenhagen. Hello, Copenhagen. I'm a cool girl.
Yes,
invite
she is.
Me.
They don't... You know, to be honest, I see the schedule is out, so I connect with the brands that I know.
Mm.
And I say, hey, you know, I'm going to be down there. Because, you know, people within brands, the PR change all the time.
Yeah.
And there's so many influencers and so many, you know, people that have so many other, more followers that they want to get there. But I just... email them and say, hey, you know, like, I'm going to be in town, I'm doing this, can I attend your show or whatever? And they either say yes or no, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Mm. But you saw a presentation of Rudebjerg that you posted the other day.
Yes.
With the shoes.
Yes, and you know what? I actually emailed their PR person, and I can't forget her. I can't
Lynn.
Remember. Yeah. No, is it Lynn? Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And it's coming out in a couple of weeks, those shoes.
Nice.
Yes. Actually, that presentation was so cool because it was in a gallery, and Alter ID was involved with this. You know, Eleanor Nistedt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also, EPDM was performing. And
yeah.
Frida Gustafsson was
yes,
one of the
yeah.
models.
But I saw this. How many weeks ago?
Like, it was like basically 6 months ago because it was last
oh, yeah,
season.
Yeah.
yeah. Last
those
fashion week.
Shoes.
Yeah, those
I
shoes
need
are
them
fantastic.
So bad.
They're coming out.
Yeah, they need me.
<That's> they like, got your name all over
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
My God.
Yes.
But what are you looking forward to? I mean, Stockholm and Copenhagen Fashion Week. Do you have like favorite brands that you're curious
about? You know,
of?
Bite Studios. I'm actually looking forward to see what they're doing. They're sustainable, beautiful styles, small collection, but they have sort of become a little darling, I think. Mm-hmm. Rave review.
Yes, of course.
Because they just are so amazing and how they've been so creative with, reusing fabrics from the towel to like so many different things.
The blankets.
Yeah, the blankets, exactly.
The blanket coat.
So I want to see what's next with them.
Have you seen how many copies?
I know. That's I have.
Sick.
I know. I saw that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's how it is, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's also like a recognition.
It is. I mean, it's kind of a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah.
That you influence, as long as you get credit for it, I think that's, you know, especially when it's a smaller brand, smaller designers.
But it's also so annoying for them.
Yeah. But, you know, one thing that I always like to do is I like to support the younger, smaller brands, especially students that are graduating. Because every season, I always like to wear something from a graduating student, whether it's from the Swedish textile or from the Copenhagen one. And also brands, like smaller brands that can...
I'm trying to do that on Elle-galan too.
Yes.
That's so much fun and also...
Yeah, give them some...
Var lite solidarisk.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. You have a platform and you can help, you know, the younger designers and... causes, whatever it is, you know, you have to be able to use that ability.
Do you have any like Danish? I'm not so into Denmark. Like, I don't know that much about Denmark and Danish fashion. Like, they have Baum and Danny.
Samso.
Yeah. Malena Berger.
Yeah. Of course, you know, you have Saxpots, which is the darling of you know.
And also Astrid Andersen.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And she refused to make me an Elle Gala outfit.
Really?
Yeah, I'm still hurt.
Oh no.
I was like, are you sure? She said no. Yeah. And I was like, does she know who I am? Yeah. I don't think she cares.
No. You know, some of them are like that. I can never get to go see Gani because they always say no to me.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some brands are, you know, I think some brands have maybe a look or certain type of people that they like to work with, you know? So that's just how it is.
Yeah.
We move on to a different brand.
We just have to saddle with our Celine shoes and Celine bags. Yes. What do you think about the new Celine? Toxic question.
You know, I think Hedi should have, come out with this new collection or new season, new show, the brand collection that he had. He should have probably come out with that first, saving everyone a lot of headache. But I'm yet to see something exciting, you know. I think some of the jewelry was cool.
I bought a pair of earrings, you know, the crystal hoops.
Yeah,
cute.
Those are really nice. Yeah. I do agree.
And also I thought
the link was cool.
Yeah.
But it's still a lot of money, you know. And I, you know, to be honest, I mean, some of my Celine stuff, I've bought that from Vestiaire. I bought it secondhand.
Yeah.
So I can't afford to pay for these kinds of pieces, you know. I invest in some, but I look to see if I can find it secondhand first, you know. Mm. So that's how
I try to... So where do you think Phoebe Philo will go next?
God, I hope she, no, because I think that they're going to stick with the one they have.
And
but
I
hope she will start her own brand. Jesus, come on, you know. Hedi should have probably done the same thing. But I think from my understanding from how she's worked before, she likes to take a sabbatical. She's got young kids too. So she probably wants to enjoy her life and be a mama.
Watch Netflix and chill.
Yeah, exactly. Fall into the dark hole of Netflix.
Yeah.
Like I have so many times. I actually had to stop Netflix because I was spending so many nights watching series.
Oh, yeah. You never want to sleep.
My God.
Yesterday I started watching, because as a lesbian, you consume everything that's like LGBT. I mean, historically, it hasn't been good. But now this is out with Suran. What's her name? The show is called Gentleman Jack. And it's based on, like, a real woman's life.
Really?
Diaries from, like, början av 1900-talet.
Nice.
Slutet av 1800-talet. Like a real, like a godsägarkvinna who had lesbian affairs. No, she lived a lesbian life. Real, you should watch it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, definitely. I'm always looking for new series, you know.
Gentleman Jack.
Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, like, cool. Kostymfilm och serier kan vara lite uff, but this is it's cute and she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's like I love her as an actress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So what's next for you, Susan?
What's next? Well, I'm preparing for Midsummer. We got some folks coming in from Ohio.
Really?
This week. And my daughter's birthday is coming up. Oh. So this week's a little busy in that sense, getting the house all readied up for, you know. I don't really know Midsummer stuff so well, but I know some things, obviously, but my father-in-law is going to take care of a lot of the food, which is nice.
And your mother-in-law.
And my mother-in-law has been helping with a lot of the...
Because they live in Strängnäs.
They live in Strängnäs, yeah. They're real helpful.
So what happened the first time you did Midsummer with your mother-in-law?
Yeah, I passed out.
Yeah, that's so mean.
I was sitting at the table. It was the first time I've met them in Strängnäs. And then they bust out these, like, she's like, oh, I don't do schnapps. I do the vodka, little Absolut bottles. I'm like, oh, my God, really? And I was like, oh, my God, vodka. And I used to drink vodka sodas, you know, going out partying and nights. But it had been, like, several years. Actually, it had only been not that long since when I had met her. I'm like, okay. But it was in the middle of the afternoon. And I'm not really into seal and stuff. So for me, the lunch was very light.
Because
I'm not into these, like, fish things, you know. Yeah. I'm like, köttbullar and prinskorv, and that's it. An egg, you know. So, like, I was trying to keep up with her. But after, like, three of those shots, I passed out for 3 hours. They had to come check in on me. I was so embarrassed.
That's a great start.
It was a great start.
Yeah. Then you married her son. Yeah, gave her two beautiful grandkids.
So, but I still can't keep up. I mean, man, schnapps are serious. It's like medicine. But it's fun. I love all the singing and, you know.
What are you wearing?
What am I going to wear? Actually, I have some nice kaftan stuff from Olens. I don't know yet. You know, I don't plan in advance.
No.
I really don't.
Yeah, neither do I.
A lot of people plan for Fashion Week. Like, I will go look and I will pick some things, but I never have outfits planned ever. Because, like, this morning I woke up bloated. I don't know what. I think I ate something really salty yesterday and I had to have something more comfortable. And it was going to be hot. Like, I don't know if it's going to be humid, windy, hot. No. So that morning, I kind of just put on what I feel. Like, I have my Birkenstocks and...
But you still look fly.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I also have to cover up because, you know, I have vitiligo.
Yeah. How's that working out for you?
I'm basically have become a leopard because, so I don't know if you all know what vitiligo is,
but a lot of people, I think people are, and also my boss, she has vitiligo.
Okay.
So yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there's a podcast outlet with her. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
People mostly know about Michael Jackson, but, you know, I started noticing this when I was 10.
Like small dots.
Small dots, exactly. But it's like, it's basically symmetrical and it's mainly around your joints. And there's no cure and they don't really know why it happens.
Yeah.
It's genetic, but it gets more with stress.
Oh.
And I think, like, probably these past... 8 years have been more stressful, you know, living. It's hard. You know, I live away from my family. My parents are getting older. My brother, his kids, daughters are all in the U.S. New language. When I apply for jobs, you know, I don't speak fluent Swedish. Mm. So there's a lot of things that I have to work with. So I try to meditate. I try to do yoga.
Yeah. But once you have like a spot, it won't go back.
No, it's not going back. So for me, it's more about... Since there's no pigments there, I have to cover up with sunscreen because then it burns. It gets red and that's dangerous.
Yeah.
So I usually don't wear like tank tops and I'm not, you know, sleeveless or wearing shorts out because I don't want to deal with...
This is the best sunscreen, jeans.
Yeah, yeah.
But summertime...
It's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough. But so I have to wear a lot of like 50, SPF 50.
You go, girl.
Yeah.
I love that.
Gotta do it. Gotta protect your skin.
Yeah. All year round, actually.
All year round.
Because you get the radiation. Like from
you do
vanliga lampor och datorn.
Yeah.
Jag tjatar om det här. Oh, gud, vad jag tjatar om det här.
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time.
I know. And people forget their hands. And that's tough because you wash your hands
a lot. I just talked to Emma about that. Emma Sjöberg.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you're in the trädgård och du är liksom du cyklar och håller på.
Yeah. So gotta carry it in your bag, you know, wear makeup with SPF.
And also, det finns ju sådana bra mistar, alltså spray för ansiktet med SPF 50, som man fyller på om man har...
No!
Oh my god, what is this?
No, I didn't know that. I didn't know about that. I have the Chanel one that they, I got. It's a small one that I can carry in my bag.
Yeah.
But I need something that sprays, especially for the hands. It's easy.
I will show you.
Ooh, thanks for the tips.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Yeah.
So if
what brand is it? Do you know?
Oh, or a lot of brands.
A lot of brands. I can come show and spray. You. Okay, yeah show me.
See on my blog.
Yes, for it's, sure.
Yeah. But I know that Garnier has ones. I know that one. I know...
What brand was that?
Garnier.
Oh, Garnier. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Garnier. And also Pixi has one. Maybe Vichy.
Yeah.
I mean, from like some years ago, 3 years ago, none.
Now. Yeah. Now like, it's... Yeah. Yeah. Now it's full.
It's great.
I have two right now that I'm using, Chanel and Trombourg. But...
But Trombourg, so bra.
Yeah, they're very natural.
Also, yeah, I like
it. But it's 30, so I have to apply it more often. But the 50 I have is, and I have Niva as well because I use that for my kids.
Yeah,
slap it on all the, and they hate it, but you know,
well,
gotta do it.
Yeah.
I know.
Thank you so much for coming to me.
Oh my god, thank you for
it's
asking
me. It's so interesting
me.
To talk about fashion. Because that's a big interest for me, but I never talk about it in my podcast.
Why not?
I know because
oh my gosh.
Well, because I talk about like...
You talk mostly beauty or no?
Yeah, but also like livsöden. Like,
what does that mean? Like life?
Life.
What öden means?
Like fate.
Oh, yeah, like, fate.
Yeah. Destiny.
Yeah.
You were listening to Under Huden with me, Kakan Hermansson, and...
Susan Stjernberger.
Du har lyssnat på Under Huden med Kakan Hermansson. En podd från L.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.